And somehow, the little boy and girl from Pantan is pivotal in these eight apostolic spheres being connected together. How wonderful is our God? Can you say amen? Amen. Success is not how much you can impress people. Success is how much of God's anointing and presence you can attract into your life. And then he can activate that and administrate that blessing on your life to turn cursed earth systems on this planet into Eden-like environments, into Eden-like atmospheres, into Eden-like climates where you can see restoration for people's hope. Amen. I have an optimistic eschatology. I do not believe in preterism, and I do not believe Jesus came in 70 AD, and I do believe much of the book of Revelation still has to be fulfilled. But I have an optimism that in the difficulties and in the stress and in the uncertainties, the church will shine and grow to the full measure of the stature of Christ by faithful men and women that have committed their hearts to die for that name because they've been captured and they are prisoners of Christ. It is so wonderful to live all out for Jesus. Can you say amen? And you don't have to wait 3 years to get into where we're at. You can get in there tonight. Come on now. You can get into a new sphere, a new place, a new realm tonight. Tonight, it can happen. Can you say amen? How many of you believe that when Judas Iscariot got the 30 pieces of silver, he went, "Whoa, this is great! This was worthwhile betraying Jesus. This was worthwhile abandoning my apostolic future." No, he got suicidal. He got depressed. There's a depression problem on the planet today. It's called self-entitlement. It's called self-centeredness. People wrapped up in themselves make very small packages. And I really believe, and I prophesy this, that the nations of the earth, and I specifically mean right now the highway area, we have recycled through a process. A revolution had to be started 7 years ago. It had to be announced. It had to be declared, knowing that with it would come all kinds of rumble and earthquakes and all kinds of reactions. Wrote about it 7 years ago in my book, Invading the Impossible. If you look there, there's two pages warning 7 years ago. When this grace message hits the planet, there's going to be reactions on the left and the right. There's going to be all kinds of weird and strange kind of thoughts and ideas. And the grace message will be blamed for it. And I warned 7 years ago, don't blame the grace message. It is surfacing the hidden camouflage positions of legalism and Gnosticism. And I wish I had enough time to tell you the fruit of the law. It's not just self-righteousness. Out of it comes Gnosticism. One branch of Gnosticism is addressed in the book of Corinthians. It's my body, belongs to me, and I can do whatever I want with it, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's immorality, rebellion, stinginess, self-centeredness, all kinds of just abusive, rebellious behavior. The other extreme of Gnosticism is written in the book of Colossians, which is harsh treatment of the body, being fascinated by people who haven't eaten for 7 months, been fascinated by people who can teleport themselves all over the earth, fascinated by people that live for 400 years in a cage or in a cave somewhere, fascinated by harsh Gnostic treatment of the body. Friends, I'm not interested in all of that. I'm not interested in angels. I'm interested in the blind seeing, the deaf hear. I'm interested in local churches growing. I'm interested in the church affecting the economy of nations. I'm interested in the church being the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? I'm not interested in Gnosticism and self-righteousness. I'm interested in Jesus. He's been alive longer than 400 years in a cave. He's been physically alive for 2,000 years. Come on now. And people need to, their piety needs to be translated into something practical. It's amazing to me. And I'm glad I put it down in paper 7 years ago and warned about the age we've come into. And I want to say now that we have now come to a recycle. And those that are faithful are positioned now to show what faithful people who have sequenced through shifts within shifts and stages within stages and accelerations within accelerations, where the ambushes of God are breaking out against our ambushes. And the people that have been saying, we will not give up to bitterness or offense. We will not give up on local church. In many places around the world, this is already happening. I believe soon in South Africa, you're going to see the gracious fruit of grace. You're going to see the power of it in this nation. Can you say amen? So when Steve was going on tonight, I just thought he should preach tonight. He started magnifying Jesus as the majesty of the heavens. He started magnifying Jesus as a glorious king. And I just, when he was talking like that, I felt so connected to the triumphant entrance that Jesus makes into our lives on a regular basis, if we will know how to let him. When he came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, it was amazing to me that people got so out of their minds, because the Bible says they were so amazed at Jesus and his miracles that they took the outer garments off, which is a sign of getting very excited. Glenda does this to me every time I come home and throws them at the front door with rose petals for me to walk over her garments as she greets me. And if there's any Aussies here in the audience, there's Tommy out there, say, tell him he's dreaming, mate. That's right, Tommy. She's never done that once. But they threw their clothes down to be a carpet to the donkey's hooves that was carrying Jesus. What a triumphant entrance. Shouting, King of Kings. It's a bit like David bringing the Ark of the Covenant back after hundreds of years where the glory of God was absent. When the glory of God is absent, you've got to have smoke machines. You've got to have brilliant chic programs, and you've got to have fantastic entertainment, amazing musicians. And then one day someone realizes the blind aren't seeing and the deaf aren't hearing and people aren't getting radically saved. People aren't laying their lives down for Jesus. People aren't changing the nation. They're just gathering. And some, in most parts of the world where the biggest churches are, that city has the worst crime rate. And suddenly David had to wake up and say, we cannot do church without the glory presence. And when they found out how to bring the glory back into the house of God, David also took his kingly robes off as the triumphant procession of the glory was coming back. And when Jesus came in triumphant procession and went down into Abraham's bosom to liberate captivity, that was a triumphant entrance. When he finished that, he made a triumphant entrance into heaven. And on the day he went back to heaven and was re-inaugurated, and they said, open up the gates. Who is the King of Glory? He is the Lord, mighty in battle. And he went as the Lord, mighty in battle, to present his blood to cleanse the heavenly utensils and to apply them to the mercy seat. It was a triumphant entrance of the Lord, mighty in battle. And I don't need a word of knowledge or super spiritual sensitivity, of which I do have both right now, but there are some of you here who are in some battles. And I want to say this, that when Jesus makes his triumphant entry into your circumstances, he is mightier in battle than the battles you are facing. And I think that we're coming into a time now where the demonic is going to get increasingly discouraged. But just as when they've lined up circumstances to totally devastate us, our Lord and King, mighty in battle, is going to make a grand, triumphant entrance into our circumstances and turn them around. This has been the greatest year we've ever lived. 61 a couple of days ago. Greatest year. God spoke to me in 1981 about the year when I turned 60 and what it'll be like. Right down Panta. Greatest year we've ever had. It's not the absence of facing challenges. But every challenge has bowed its knee. Everything. No matter what's come against. It doesn't matter how big it is. No matter how frightening it is, whether it's finance, family, issues, whatever. Don't you want to go into it? God has given us a triumphant entrance. And the Bible doesn't say to him who succumbs, but to him who overcomes. There are things that are given. Now you'll get to heaven even if you succumb to the pressures of this world. But you'll go in and it'll be wonderful. Praise God. There'll be applauses and everything else.
But you know, those who overcome through faith, there's something about that. We can make a triumphant entrance into heaven and hear the well done, good and faithful servants. Amen. Start young and stay faithful till you're in your 80s and 90s. That's what I plan to do. I don't want Judas Iscariot's depression. I found out that if you don't bow the knee, if you continue doing what God's called you to do, you will find your life getting richer and richer and fulfilling and more joyful. It's amazing. God says, Jonah, go to Nineveh. I don't want to go to Nineveh. Horrible there. I want to go on a Mediterranean Sea cruise. You know, Lord, I know you, Lord, but I don't have to do your will because I'm in grace now. So your assignment is actually very low on my agenda, because it's about which city I want to work in and which city I want to live in and which country I want to go to and what job I want to take. It's got nothing to do with you. Lord, you forgive me and you're gracious, but I'm going to do what I want, but your role is just to make me happy. And I'm not exaggerating. That's how some people think. And they wonder why they end up in a whale's belly. And then they sit there saying, it's not so bad. And they try and make out, it's okay. Lord, I want to go fishing. God says, I can do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. And then the storm comes up on the boat. And it's not the devil, it's God. See, when the storm came up and Jesus stood on his boat and said to the storm, peace be still. That wasn't from God. That was from the devil, that storm. Because he rebuked it. But don't think every storm is the devil. That was a God storm. And there's some God storms after the cross. God even kills people after the cross. Where, Rob? Well, okay, Ananias and Sapphira, you might want to argue with, so we won't go there. But what about Herod that let people worship him and didn't stop them? God's got prosperity angels, he's got blessing angels, healing angels, and he's got assassination angels. And it says right there after the cross, an angel came down from the Lord and struck Herod dead, and he was eaten up by worms. I wonder what the preacher is concerned about that one. And a few other things after the cross. See, God's not a semi-senile pussycat. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's a God. He's a God that, it says in Isaiah 61, many other passages, Romans 12 says, make room for God's vengeance. You don't take vengeance, make room for God's vengeance. That's another whole teaching on how to make room, but believe me, I've learned how to do that. And it certainly shifts things around on the planet. Isaiah 61, Jesus didn't even get time. Isaiah 6, he said he got to talk about the anointing, but he never got to the later verses that says, and the Holy Spirit will execute vengeance and comfort Zion. We've got people in the church today that think injustice is just going to carry on the planet and we're just victims. No, make room for God's vengeance. He's going to start dealing with things. He's going to transfer wealth. He's going to pay back everything the enemy's stolen from you. And the enemy's stolen, anytime he steals from you, he is stolen. Because you can't open the doors through your sin or failure. Christ closed all the doors at the cross. And anytime, listen, if your sin opened the door to the devil, then the devil's no longer a thief, but a legitimate owner of what he takes. But he is not a legitimate owner, he's always a thief. But the church has got to realize now that in your relationship with the Father, as we've taught for many, many years, nothing will change in your relationship with your Father based on your decisions. But things will change in your life, in your circumstances, and your consequences based on your decisions. We make our choices, then our choices make us. And there's this blame projection all the time. And I want to ask you this. What would inner healing people do? And I believe in inner healing. But what would inner healing people do about Adam and Eve? Because there was no pedophile uncle there before the fall. There was no abusive people. There was no rape. There was no molestation. There was no abusive mom and dad. There was a perfect father. And they had total dominion over the devil. That's no excuse, the liar. So why did they make that choice? Because of choice. And there were consequences that was brought down upon all of us. There was consequences when Jesus said, Father, do I have to go to the earth? Do I have to go and suffer? No, he said it was his joy to make himself of no reputation and came. Last Adam made decisions that had positive consequences in us. You and I are making decisions now that have good consequences to our children, grandchildren, children's children, to our local church, to our nation, and to our marriage. And the good thing about that storm is that the people that wanted to throw Jonah said, throw me off. And hard pagans didn't want to throw him off. That's amazing. But as soon as they threw him off, the storm stopped. And Jonah caught the fish. I'm sorry, the fish caught him. Sitting in the gastric juices of the fish, you've got time to think, time to meditate, time to reflect on the values and priorities of life and who's God and who's not God. Who's in charge? And he had an epiphany. The South African Army corporals used to say, pull yourself towards yourself. He had an epiphany. He had that revelation I told you about a year and a half ago. But some of you need to hear it again by the Spirit of God. He had an epiphany. He realized there are only two ways out of here. There are only two exits. And there are people sitting in the highway area and some maybe sitting in this room. You're in the whale's belly and you're blaming the devil, blaming God, blaming the church, blaming pastors, blaming parents, just like Adam and Eve did when they made a wrong choice. It's a woman you gave me. It's a serpent. Choices. Caroline Leaf, the South African neuroscientist, said free choice is scientifically validated now according to the Bible. And he realizes the back passage exit, you have to go through a metamorphosis. There's a transformation factor that's necessary. And you will come out the other side slimy, stinky, and dead. Now in Christ, you're going to go to heaven. But there comes a time when people have become so warped in their rebellion against God in the name of grace, which is not grace, it's counterfeit or pseudo-grace. They get so far gone in that they end up going out the back exit. They get vomited out the mouth because of lukewarmness. They don't lose their salvation. They wander like vagabonds, half-depressed through life, wondering why and what happened. You took the wrong exit. So he realized, well, I've got to get out the front exit. So he does something wonderful. He repents. He says, Lord, Lord, I'm persuaded, now that you put it like this, I'm going to Nineveh. This is a wonderful repentance. And he's burped out the front, not the back. And with the seaweed around his neck and the gastric juices of the fish, he walks into Nineveh and he says, repent. And the whole city repents. See, God's struggle is not with a rebellious city like Nineveh. His struggle, if God's got a struggle, is with the church doing what it wants. Its programs, its plans, its will, its ways. But I can tell you, as we come to the end of 2015, God is raising up a very big, vibrant, faithful remnant. They're going to coordinate and collaborate and connect and walk in the anointing of God. And we're going to see Ninevehs are not challenges, because our King's making triumphant entrance back into your circumstances and into mine and into churches around the world. I want to tell you the Grace Revolution is alive and well. We've been to 9 nations this year, and I can tell you it is exploding. We've met men and women leading churches of multiple thousands, preaching this hyper grace, but with divine order and kingdom and local government of local churches and generous giving and many people being saved and added. Come on, can you say amen? Come on, Pantan, you shouldn't be this class. Let's make a legitimate meeting. Turn to your Bibles. Nowhere else but Galatians 3. I want to talk about, a little bit, not much longer tonight, on the anointing. I am just beginning to commit myself to write a book on the anointing, because I suddenly realized that many people are focused on the finished work of the cross, and thank God that battle has been won to get the church aware the battle is over, the victory of the cross, the finished work of the cross. But now the next challenge is to show the church the work of the cross is finished, the finished work of the cross. Wonderful. But the Holy Spirit has not finished applying the finished work of the cross. You and me have seen such a fraction of what happened at the cross. And the only way to connect to the reality of the finished work of the cross is in the reality of the anointing. Grace is like just H2O written on a piece of paper. If you don't have the anointing, you don't have the manifestation of living presence and power of grace. The anointing of God is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. There is nothing that can reign over your life when you have fresh anointing oil on your life every day. Tomorrow morning, I want to talk one of the most powerful messages that I really feel God's given us that has been the most transforming message of truth to Glenn and I for over 35 years. And it's the types and shadows of the anointing found in Exodus 30, moving into the substance of the new covenant. The five dimensions to the anointing and how they practically apply to daily living. Not just for ministry or praying or reading the Bible, but for your life, for a quality of life. And you need fresh anointing oil on your life every single day. Can you say amen? You know, whenever a door starts squeaking, it's very irritating to hear a squeaking door. And you realize that can be solved quickly and easily. Just put some fresh oil on the hinges. When I'm starting to complain too much and finding life tough and negative, I realize I've gone a day too long without the anointing. You need to look for that little flashing red light on your dashboard. Because if you run out of oil in your car, your whole car will seize. If you let your life go one day without fresh anointing, you've walked into very dangerous territory. Every day you need fresh anointing oil on your life. And it's in the anointing that Jesus can come and make his appearance triumphantly into your circumstances. Without the anointing, you can believe in grace as much as you want. But unless the anointing's on your life, you're not connected to the living presence and power of grace. See, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will glorify me, for he'll take what belongs to me and make it experientially known to you. All that the Father has, he's given to me. That's why I say, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will glorify me by taking what belongs to me and making it manifest or known, epignosos, known experientially to you. How can you know the power of the Lord Jesus? How can Jesus step into your life in circumstances in a triumphant entry unless you are clothed, furnished, saturated, immersed with the anointing every single day of your life? Steve said it tonight. He quoted Romans 14:17. The kingdom of heaven is not ceremonial foods and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In other words, you can say the kingdom is in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the anointing. And where there's no anointing, there is no kingdom. There's no dominion of the king. Without the anointing, you're walking naked into your future. Without the manifest presence and power of God upon your life every day, you are walking naked into a battle zone. The battle's over at the cross, but if you're not in the anointing, you're not connected to that victory and triumph of the cross. It's not been applied to you. And now you're walking into a battle where the enemy will deceive you if he can. Now he can't if you're in the anointing of God. And we used to talk so much about the anointing in the early 80s that I just don't want to talk about it because I think everyone knows about it. But as I've traveled the world, I realize the church is not thinking every day, today, I need fresh anointing. I need fresh life. Except, well, I have the Holy Spirit in me, and I've got the fullness of the Spirit in me. Well, it doesn't look like it sometimes. I just believe we need to come like dumb sheep to our shepherd and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing because, anoint my head with oil so my cup can overflow. It doesn't take hours of prayer a day. It just takes in the morning. Good morning, Lord, I just need fresh anointing today. Rub it in. Massage fresh anointing. Now, how many of you want to know in the next 20 minutes how Can the anointing increase and be fresh on my life every single day? I just don't want to end up in the whale's belly. In 37 years of ministry, I've made 7 stupid decisions. They were bad decisions. 4 of them I've made in Hong Kong. So as you get older, doesn't guarantee. They were not immoral decisions. They were leadership decisions. They were decisions made on trying to please everybody. There were decisions made against the grain of the anointing. And the anointing was saying, don't do that. Ah! It's inward witness. It's like having a bath with your socks on. It's not evil. It just doesn't feel right. See, some of you are very artistic. You saw the picture of that. You saw yourself lying there with socks on. Big willy ones. And it's just like that. It's not like big alarm bells going off. It's not like an angel comes or the Lord speaks to you loudly. You just feel like you're in a bath with your socks on. Down here, in your spirit, you just think, I shouldn't sign this contract. I shouldn't make that, but you just do it. Because your mind reasons yourself out of it. Rather sleep on it. See, if you let the shepherd be your shepherd, he will lead you beside still waters. Cuts a trench in the bank and so that the water can come in. It's fresh, but it's not turbulent. If you're living with turbulence in your life, it means that you are in a whale's belly. And the Lord's your shepherd. He makes you lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside still waters. He anoints your head with oil so the flies can't come and lay their maggots in you. And the flies can't come on the sheep's ears and make them itchy by biting the ears. Beelzebub, Lord of the flies, the devil. You need fresh anointing oil every day from your shepherd so that your ears and your head is protected so you don't hear the voice of the devil anymore. It's a new revelation, isn't it? We used to hear bigger, higher levels, bigger devils. Well, Janet prophesied over me 2 years ago or whatever it was. It's not true, Rob. I said, amen. Higher levels, smaller devils, even higher levels, no devils. For the first few years in Hong Kong, I had devils come try and strangle me, try and push me into my bed, speaking into my head, get out of the city. I've got the city. Go back to Australia. This is a legalistic city. I've got control. What are you coming here with grace? The demonic was very, very threatened. And then I began to learn. See, I made 4 mistakes from the age of 51 and only 3 before that because I was in a new theater of combat that nothing in South Africa or Australia taught me to deal with. And I had to face some Goliaths. And I promise you, you cannot abandon the battlefield when you're engaged with Goliath. If you retreat out of that battle, you're going to have some problems. Because he's going to get bigger while you're licking your wounds in self-pity. And you just cannot have a victim mindset. You've got to have I can take this giant, but not with Saul's armor. I can take this giant in the anointing. And I stay in this level of contact. And I'm going to face him until I get the answers, until I get wisdom, until I get revelation. But I'm not backing out of this battle because I don't want to spend my life in a whale's belly or spend my life formulating a theology that legitimizes compromise and retreat and makes it out like it's noble, holy, and glorious. Because if I do that, I'm going to pervert and pollute and corrupt generations to come. And it's not about Glenda and me. It's not about you and I. It's about who's coming after us. And what is the legacy we have inherited? And maybe we are fighting some battles that should have been won by previous generations. Somewhere you just have to be captured by the revelation that you need the anointing. Amen. Oh, I tell you, the amount of people that say, I'm too weak, Rob. I'm too weak. That's why I fail. That's why I sin so much. That's why I do this. Saying, it's not that you're too weak. You're too strong in the flesh. You're too strong in your head. You need to become like a dumb sheep. Even if you are David, the king of Israel, you need to have the humility to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I will lack for nothing. The Lord said to me, stop worrying about being an apostle or prophet or this or that. Be a sheep. I want to shepherd you, my son. I love you. It's not just your ministry. I love your marriage. I love Glenda. I love you. I love people. I want to care for you. I want to bless you. Come on. Don't back off from Nineveh and then try and live comfortably in a whale's belly. Don't put your curtains up there. Don't try and tell people it's not so bad. Life is tough. No, the way of the transgressor is hard. But his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Don't sit there in the whale's belly and go, well, yeah, I know I've been disobedient. I know I was supposed to go to Nineveh. I know that I was supposed to follow the leading of the Spirit in that, and I didn't. But it's not my fault because I lived in toxic religion before, or I had parents. You know, God, who looked after Adam and Eve as their father, is not going to be very impressed by your Sigmund Freud arguments. All he's going to do is whisper quietly into your heart and say, son, daughter, you need to make a decision. Because sooner or later, this fish is going to have a bowel movement. Now you can come out your life, just a little bit of humility and repentance, and you will have the joy of seeing Nineveh repent. It just takes every Christian in every local church to have this attitude, and we have instant revival. We have instant government. Where there's corruption in the government, God will bring the Herods down. He will send his assassination angels or his demotion angels, and he will lift up the righteous in a nation. Whenever you go in a nation, if you want to know what the church is like, look at the government. Where corruption is thought of as something great. Well, what's in the church? Self-centered people. What's in it for me? Come on, guys. Life is exciting. You don't have to wait 3 years. Accelerate now. Amen. There's a way to receive. Listen, we didn't get free from the law to live dry, academic, cerebral lives, debating and the concepts of grace. We got born again to be saturated with the presence of God, where the grace of God's a living, tangible, manifest, experiential reality. I'm speaking like a fool, but you've made me speak this way. Because you're the committed ones here tonight. And so, bless you. The Lord wants to bless you because He loves you. And Father, I just ask in the next, I don't know, Lord, I don't want to lie under the anointing. Whatever. Who can come back tomorrow? Anyone can come back? Some of you are coming back, but after what I preach, you're not. Okay. No dreams tonight, Rob, of coming out the backside of a fish. No, you won't. You're going to have dreams of seeing your assignment fulfilled, the purpose of God. I want to read this, Galatians 3, and Father, we do pray that in the next whatever time, it's not going to be an issue just of time, although we want to honor people getting to sleep tonight, working all day. We're not going to do Paul the Apostle thing and preach all night and someone fall out the window and die. But we want in the next amount of time for something to be graphically imparted into our hearts. Lord, that you'd put your signature on us. Put your mark on us. Arrest us in our assignment tonight, Father. And help us to see simply how to stay fresh in the anointing every day. Amen. Well, we know Galatians 3 very well, so we'll just go. The first thing is he's talking about you're foolish because you've forgotten about the wonder of the finished work of the cross. And now you're trying to add to the cross by the law. So, verse 2, let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? And then verse 5, does he who supplies the Spirit, please say supplies. I hope you can see that word is in the present continuous tense. Just for those people that tell you, I got baptized in the Spirit 30 years ago and I got the fullness then and I don't need any more of the Holy Spirit. This word is epigurio. The Greek word is epigurio. It means the fullness of the supply of the Spirit in the present continuous tense. So the finished work of the cross has released the full voltage of heaven. the very power to raise the dead, to do the works of Jesus, greater works, to see the church come to the full measure of the stature of Christ, to see the power of the blessing that's in the Spirit, which we'll talk about tomorrow in the anointing, to see resources, money's never going to be a problem. I used to say we all must have more vision than money. Now I'm going to say we're going to have more money than vision. Because we're going to have very, very big vision, but we're going to understand how to flow in the supernaturals of heaven, and not the pseudo-supernatural, not the mystical supernatural, but the supernatural that Jesus and the apostles walked in. I think Philip got teleported once, and as far as I know, it didn't happen regularly. I think most times Jesus crossed the sea was in a boat, not walking. But he opened the eyes of the blind. See, people that talk about teleporting and out-of-the-body experiences, come on now, I want you to see, just open the eyes of the blind regularly. Build strong, healthy local churches with really committed, passionate people. People willing to lay their lives down. Stop pulling your flowers down for the wrong woman. Be faithful to the same woman decade after decade. Be faithful to the same local church decade after. How about that? Be there regularly, every weekend, every prayer meeting. A nation in crisis with empty prayer meetings? I'm preaching tame here because this is my heart, Pantan. But in Johannesburg, the guy said, we've never seen you preach with fire like this. Because I tell you, South Africa is in a precipitation point. The next stage can be the greatest future for South Africa, or it could be something dreadful. And it's right now, not depending on the government or God, but on the church. He supplies the Spirit. He epigurios the Spirit. The Spirit of God is not increased by the level of your prayer. But when you get the Spirit and fresh supply of anointing, the level of your prayer will go up. You don't pray to get the anointing. You pray in the anointing. And you begin to legislate heaven's administration into the earth realm. I hear some people, the way they pray, it just shocks me how wishy-washy and insipid it is. When there's a burning volcano of the living God wanting to administrate the full supply of His Spirit into our prayer meetings, so we administrate the victory of the cross in a passionate way that is the title deeds to the earth being released through faith, that the kingdom of heaven breaks in violently and the vengeance of God manifests across nations, and the bully boys and the corrupt ones are brought down low and the righteous are lifted up to places of influence and impact. And many repent in the whale's belly and come out and stand in front of the Nineveh in the authority of the God that they serve. Come on, shout amen, yeah. He supplies the Spirit. The fullness of everything God is was released from the cross with unwavering voltage. Heaven's flow of electricity is fortunately not like South Africa's flow of electricity. I'm sorry to say that. But we have people that think that the electricity flows more at certain periods and decades and millennia, and it flows less at other times. The power of God from the cross is unlimited fullness of the living power of God. It's been supplied to the church. But not through the reliance on the works of the law, but by the hearing of faith. Now, I said at the business conference, I'm not interested in people telling me, well, I believe this, and I believe that, Rob, and I believe this. I'm tired of debating what people believe. It's easy to put up belief statements on walls. The way I know what people believe is what's following them. As the Bible says, these signs will follow them that believe. So what's coming after you is either signs of what you believe or signs of unbelief. But this Bible says that if you're grounded in grace, if you're grounded by faith in the finished work of the cross and no reliance on the works of the law, then there's a present tense continuous supply of the fullness of the Spirit of God coming on you every second of every minute, of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, of every decade. Never-ending manifestation of the power of the Spirit. And if it's not happening, it means somewhere we've become grace Pharisees, or we've become law-based and legalistic in the way we administrate grace. Because if we believe the message of the finished work of the cross, then the Holy Spirit would apply the finished work of the cross. Because the Holy Spirit has not finished applying the finished work of the cross. Because if he had finished applying the finished work of the cross, we would be in heaven now. But people are sitting on their blessed assurance saying, I believe in grace, not the law. And they do nothing. They passive, the apathetic, cavalier with the inheritance. And saying they believe in grace, then where is the fullness of the Spirit of God? It's not just for healings and miracles. It's to have a joyful life. It's to overcome depression. It's to overcome negativity. It's to raise children. It's just to face the pressures of this world in the anointing. Sorry, I got some bad news. As you get older, life doesn't get easier. As you get older, you have more responsibilities. See, right now at 61, we've got more children. I mean, not more children, but we've got more grandchildren. And more on the way. By faith. Bonnie. We've got more responsibility in Hong Kong. We've got more churches we're working with. We've got more Skypes with leaders from around the world. We've got more issues. We've got more demands, more challenges, more financial pressures than we've ever had before. And we can't get bigger. So we got to get more anointing. Otherwise, we set the ceiling and we plateau here. But the more anointed you can become, the more you can do, the more you can handle, the more pressure. And the more glory he gets. Please don't miss tomorrow morning's meeting on the ingredients of the anointing. You'll see a revelation on the anointing. I'd say 90% of you, you've never seen it before. You'll see why things have gone wrong. Why the anointing's been misunderstood. And why we've abused the anointing. You'll see how the anointing is unto the Lord. Look what it says here. I'm just assuming the silence is because you're agreeing and this is wonderful. And you're thinking... Verse 5, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and work miracles among you, do so by works of the law, by hearing with faith? And then verse 12 says, but the law is not of faith. It's not of faith. So, this to me is very clear. If we really say we're grounded in grace, if we really say we're operating in faith, and not under the works of the law, relying on the works of the law, then we should be receiving on a daily basis a present tense, continuous supply of the Spirit. And every day we should be positioning ourselves, Lord, fresh anointing. Massage it into my life. Make me fresh every day. How many of you have ever wondered when you look at those big cables that go across the country on these high, what do you call them? High-rise wires, pylons, okay? And those wires are not insulated. They are naked wires. I don't know, maybe you can tell me, but I think in each cable, tens of thousands of living voltage and who knows the amps are flying through there. And little birds sit on those naked power. That's not insulated. They are sitting on living thousands of voltage for hours. And none of them become Kentucky Fried Chicken. They're like the modern church. The finished work of heaven, the cross, the heavenly voltage is flowing at fullness without wavering or faltering every second, every moment for 2,000 years. Christians sitting and listening to sermons or trying to drink H2O written on paper. Cerebral academic concepts of grace. They're touching the power, but the power is not touching them. The supply is there, but it's not coming into them. It's not being pulled into them. They're waiting for the Lord to touch them, but the Lord's waiting for them to touch Him. Because they're already touching Him, but they're not touching Him grounded in grace. They've just got the concept of grace, but they haven't got the revelation. Because if they just do this, you see, power will not flow, electricity will not flow into you unless you're grounded. You've got to be earthed. You've got to be connected to the earth. Then the power will come and flow into you. So these little birds just did this to the pylon. Instant Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I'm not talking about just shaking for the sake of shaking. You know, I don't mind. I want people to shake and fall and all of that stuff. But don't go to work and do that. Don't go to your CEO and say, I just want to tell you about... When did Jesus do that? No, he had his private times of encounters with the Father, but then he went and changed the water into wine. Then he did something practical to lift the stress. He didn't try and show people, whoa, oh, I've just been to the third heaven. Oh, now the sixth. Oh, I've seven. Oh, there's angels there. No, he just was a real man with reality, but the unlimited Spirit of God moving through him. We turn a bunch of people into being glory bunnies. You can't endure real difficulties. You get weird and strange and unfaithful. I didn't do that, neither did you. But that Gnostic spirit is not the Holy Spirit. It's a demonic spirit. It's a pseudo spirit. And it's more dangerous than anything you can imagine. I can deal with people in the church struggling with immorality and all kinds of sins. We can stand with them if they believe in grace and they're humble. But those elitist people, you think that they just, that's not, it's an elitist. We got revelation that you bunch of idiots you don't know about. I said, well, what's following you with your revelation? Let me see your belief system, because what's following you, I don't want in my life. I don't want that in my church. And we just stand up and lead now, because leaders must lead. Can you say amen? See, just have to touch you. And if you're here, you can have people lay hands on you till you're bald. And you can get the biggest gurus in the world with faith to come and pray for you. Unless they have a gift of faith operating right then, you're going to get nothing here. When they were in Nazareth here, Jesus couldn't do any great things. All they had to do was this. Faith touched the grounding to grace. Whoa. See here? People say, well, it's the power station's choice. They have a sovereign, pre-elected, predestined purpose. And they only heal eagles because they're holy birds. But the crows, no power flows into the crows. The power station would say, guys, please, you're misrepresenting us. Any bird, and we don't care what color it is, what nationality it is, what gender it is, what denomination it is, whatever's going on in their life, whatever's happening in their life, if they just do this. If an electrician climbs up the pylon while he's holding onto the pylon, he's completely safe. But if he just stretches one hand out and the other hand on the pylon, poof, he's healed. He had contact. And it doesn't take the little bird with their little wing to touch it for half an hour. It's just one second. Pow. Amen. Are you guys tracking with this? You lay hands over people. Nothing's going in. All the miracles, almost all the miracles we've seen, blind eyes, deaf ears, people totally lame. Couldn't walk at all. Get up, walk. The Philippines, etc. We didn't lay hands on them. We spent message after message teaching them about the anointing and how to do what I'm telling you tonight. This is how this lady had her blind eyes open a few days ago in Zululand, by her hearing this message translated into Zulu. We're too man-centered. We're too reliant on some man to get his hands on us. There's a place for that. Amen. See, if you stick your hands into an electric socket, Jack, wet them first, just to make it more fun. You stick your finger in that electric socket, the electricity doesn't ask you religious questions. It doesn't ask you, have you got any sin in your life? It doesn't ask you, are you a man or woman? What color are you? How long have you had the problem? Electricity only asks you one question. Are you grounded? And if your feet are on the ground, or some little part of your body is touching the ground, that electricity will instantly flow at full volume. At any point, all the little church birdies sitting on these wires saying, I don't know what, nothing ever happens to me. I need a fast for 40 days. Well, do that if you need to lose weight, but don't do that for. Because you can fast for 80 days here and nothing's going to happen. Just do this. Amen. You know, that little lady that had that issue of blood, Mark 5, bleeding for 12 years. I don't know what that must be like, bleeding for 12 years. Every day, bleeding. It means you're losing iron, other minerals. Means you're getting weaker and weaker and tireder and tireder. Spent all her money on doctors, and thank God for doctors, but these doctors couldn't help her. So now she's tired, sick, and economically disempowered. Got no money left. And then she hears about Jesus and doesn't say what you heard about, but she had an issue of blood which made her, according to the law of Moses, unclean. So she went into a crowd, she had to shout, unclean, unclean, and avoid everybody. If she sat on a bench, that bench would be unclean for a week. She couldn't touch anyone because she was unclean. And if she touched them, it was, under Moses' law, a death sentence. So she hears about Jesus, and she's sitting over here, and she hears that he is healing lepers who are unclean. Everyone else doesn't want to touch the leper. He heals the unclean lepers. He's healing prostitutes. He's healing the unclean. So she hears that this man is healing people that was forbidden to do so under the law in the methods he was using. It was a method under the law to get them healed, but it was a very big, long rigmarole. And none of the Pharisees were getting results. And so she realizes, I've got to actually disregard, or I've got to go against the grain of thousands of years of tradition, and I've got to do what the law doesn't allow me to do. For me to get my healing, I've got to do this. And so she sneaks up behind him in the crowd. And she touches him. This is what gets me. She touched him. And instantly, it says, she felt in her body. She was made well. Now, I'm not against saturating prayers and all this, but I just want to get us back to the Bible. She didn't pick up with both hands the hem of his garment and walk for 5 kilometers behind Jesus. Hold on to the... Because the law policeman would have seen her. And they would have killed her on this. They would have stoned her to death. Jairus was there. Synagogue ruler. He would have killed her. So she just went like this. She sneaked up. Instant. Amazing thing, what she didn't think about, and I know this is so real, the anointing is so real to me. You can feel it leaving your body, or you can feel it bouncing off someone's head knowledge. The H2O written on paper as they sit over here, on the power. Nothing's coming to them. Jesus felt the power leaving. So this is, if you haven't heard anything tonight, hear this, please. He turns around the crowd and he says, who touched me? Now that means to me, he had nothing to do with the healing. Some theologians say Jesus was pretending he didn't know who touched him, but he really knew. Well, that means he's lied. And Jesus was not born speaking perfect Hebrew. He had to learn Hebrew at school. He had to read his Bible. He didn't know anything unless his father revealed it to him. Because his divinity was restrained within his last Adam humanity. So he didn't know who had touched him. But there were hundreds touching him. Everyone was touching him, but they were touching him here. Relying on the works of the law. One woman understood, I've got to touch him here. And it was instant. And he had nothing to do with it except... He had been anointed at the age of 30 by the Holy Spirit power. Before that, he didn't do any miracles. People keep saying to me, train, 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 train. I say, I'm not here to train. My role is to untrain people. Because this lack of the mighty wind of heaven in every local church is because the church is sitting here, saying they believe in grace. because of wrong training here. Not by the pastors, I'm just talking about by just church history, just by Western culture, just by the Hong Kong people were trained by British people. And thank God for them, and we honor the history, but they're so cerebral, and they were changed by Confucius as well, which is a very cerebral conceptual religion in the head. And to help the Chinese people to move from here to here, I didn't have to train them, I had to detrain them to understand what you're seeing today. But it's taken me years. Now in our church in Hong Kong, most of our people are sitting here. But when I got to Hong Kong, they were standing over here. Had a long way. It's been 11 years. But that was the Goliath I had to face. And I had to keep transitioning them like this. With only 6 months a year, because the other times I was away. And then when I got back, I was jet-lagged and exhausted, because we don't just go to one country and do a conference. We do about 6, sometimes 7 conferences in a country. So you get back jet-lagged and you support out. Glory to you, help me get anointed. And help these people move this way. But never give up. Imagine the whole church sitting here. The wind of heaven. The anointing on people's lives. You couldn't stop people witnessing and telling the lost about Jesus. The flow of generosity, the flow of commitment, the changing of our calendars, our planning and our purses. Every priority would be precipitated just by this touch. Grace without the anointing. It's like H2O written on paper. It's not the real water. And it's amazing to me that one little woman, she precipitated a prototype pattern that actually benefited possibly thousands of people immediately. Because that's Mark 5. If you go to Mark 6, verse 56, you'll see that these guys who'd been touching him by the hundreds from here and getting nothing must have asked the woman, "How did you do that? How did you get to touch him like that?" And she would explain. Because Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Go in shalom. Nothing broken, nothing missing." So not just healing, but economic empowerment coming your way as well. Just complete package that's in the anointing. One brief touch changed 12 years of suffering. And they must have learned from it, because if you look at Mark, the next chapter, verse 56, it said, "Whenever Jesus came into a town, village, or city, they ran and got all the sick and all the dying, and they laid them at his feet, and as many as touched the hem of his garment, they were made whole." Chapter before, hundreds touching him from here, getting nothing. One touches him from here, gets everything. One chapter later, everyone's moved from there to here, and as many as touched him were healed. If one touched him, they were healed. If two touched him, they were healed. 10 touched him, they were healed. 100 touched him, they were healed. That's what you call a paradigm shift. That's what you call a shift in the thinking of the church that moves the church to an escalation of not irrelevant mystical experiences, but encountering God in a way that affects your marriage, the way you raise your children, the way you do business, the way you do church. It brings you into a place of loyalty, faithfulness. And when you walk under that anointing, a majestic king can make many triumphant entrances into your circumstances and into your life and turn things around. 2:15 is the turnaround year. There's still a little way to go. And when you've entered that realm of the anointing, you've got another, now you're consecrated to enter into the realm of the glory. And that's just another wonderful level. But you'll never get into that realm of the glory and stay there unless you know how to do this every day. More than 24 hours without this, very dangerous. The longer Christians go without this, day after day, week after week, Maybe years ago they accidentally got shown in a conference, did this because everyone else was helping them get to do this. But then when the years go by and they don't do that, you cannot know the influence of heaven's wisdom unless you're under the anointing. So year after year, without the influence of heaven, there are subtle incremental transformations and shifts where this world's wisdom is now becoming the major influence. And it takes years, and the devil's very slow and subtle with those incremental conditioning by the corrupt wisdom of this age. And suddenly Christians that were on fire, years later, don't know why they can make decisions that would have destroyed their conscience years ago. They can make major life decisions that they think is going to position them for great life, but their world shrinks, shrinks, shrinks till it's the belly of a big fish. We're meant to live out of our belly. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Be fishers of men, but we end up in the belly of a fish. Blaming God, blaming the devil, blaming the church with a victim mindset. Guys, that is no way to live. Amen. I just ask you, please, do not let lukewarm, cold Christians influence your life. You really need to be responsible to get on fire every day of your life. No matter what trauma or tragedy or difficulty comes your way, you're still not a victim. God is too big. You're called, you're assigned. We need one another right now. We need everyone being hot. I need people in my life to challenge me, inspire me, to stand up stronger in God. Most of my life in Hong Kong, the circle was Glendon, I giving out to everyone, pulling from us. You can die like that, friends. Traveling to nations, giving out, giving out. Now slowly, in Hong Kong, we've got a circle where people are pushing back into us, like, and we've got a team in South Africa we're part of, team in Australia, New Zealand, and collaborations with apostolic teams across the earth. Kazakhstan with Daniel and his team there. And now people giving life back to us. If I get lazy spiritually, if I begin to make excuses, if I begin to legitimize compromise, I just want friends that will get in my face and say, Rob, that's not your calling. We love you. Stand up. Hold your ground. We need you. Well, I want to say, Glenda and I need you. You need each other. Churches in the city need each other. They need prototype churches that are like this little woman that shifted the paradigms for the whole cities. We need churches like that. I want you to think in the light of eternity. Decisions you're making now, how it's going to affect eternity. How it's going to affect generations. How it's going to affect South Africa. There are people that don't go to prayer meetings, they don't pray for the government, they don't pray for the nation, and when it gets too tough, I'll go to another nation. And they think in another nation it'll all come right. A belly of a fish waiting in that other nation. Unless the Lord has called and sends you, commissions you, there's nowhere you can run from the call of God. He has assigned you. And He loves you so much that He's not going to make it easy for you. I said the Lord in Marion Hill before they built all these factories here. And there's still wild buck up there. And I was in my 20s. I said, Lord, the last breath I have in my body, I want to be faithful to you. I want to finish what you called me to do. If I'd known he's calling me to Hong Kong, I would have said, God, with that part, I'm going to change that. Okay. And he said, son, you're going to finish your race right to the end. I said, Lord, how? He said, because you're going to walk so close with me, I'm going to anoint you, and you're going to hear my voice, and you're going to be faithful to me. I said, but Lord, what happens if I disobey? He said, then I've got fish's bellies for you. Right back then. I said, but Lord, even if I, what happens if I rebel then? He said, then I've got ways and means committees that you don't want to know about right now. Let's stand together, please, everyone. And want the Vuka Vuka, weren't they great tonight? Why don't you give them a clap? Want the Vuka Vuka band if they're still here? You guys still here or have you had to go home? Rob! Well, he was one of my students when I was a teacher at Westville Boys High School. Hey? A good PE master. You see, from the... I taught him how to be good looking as well. You said, Rob, why do you, every time you come, you always challenge, you always push the envelope. Because that's my calling. But I actually can be gentle and fatherly too, and I hope I was tonight. And I can honestly say this, that the Lord deals with me. He said, son, you're always wanting the next level and the next level. And he says, I'm going to give that to you. But enjoy the levels you get to. Savor the victories. Enjoy them. And he said, don't camp there. And don't settle there. So now I'm learning to find a balance in my life, because it's always go to the next level, go to the next. That's the apostolic. You've got to advance. And if the robots are red, or traffic lights, wherever you're from, robots are red, I feel like it's a demonic conspiracy trying to slow my life down. Because leaders can't be passive, and we're all leaders. And so I want to say, wherever you're at tonight, somewhere the Spirit of God had to have spoken to you. Number one, He's the Lord of glory, mighty in battle. Whatever battle you're going through, He is mightier. But you need the anointing on your life for Him to make a triumphant entrance into that place in your life. You know, Glenda and I could have stood here and just told you nothing of victory and advancement. We could have just told you all our war stories and betrayals and pain and hurt. And you could have cried and, you know, you would have given more in the offering. And I would have just manipulated you with emotions, but I've given you the word and I've imparted revelation. And I've said to people around the world, we come into cities and towns for partnership and collaboration, but we come in to see change. We come in to see the word of God increasing and transforming. And I really believe what's happening in the highway is positive. It's increasing. This is an amazing crowd for a Friday night. I am really blessed you guys came. This is phenomenal attendance after a whole week of work, Friday night. But I'm really not concerned about the size of the crowd anymore. I'm concerned about the size of the hunger in that crowd. And you got big hunger here tonight. They come back. Some of you face some really nasty, ugly, brutal battles. And the very fact you're here tonight has heaven celebrating it. You're not at home sulking. You're here. Which means you're in the race. You're in the fight. And I prophesy of you, we've come recycled to another level of activation, administration of heaven. And all you have to be is just positioned. You just have to be there. And you can step into a new realm. I want to say it again. High levels. Smaller devils. Higher levels than that, no devils. Do not think Jesus is walking around harassed by demons all the time. We were harassed by demons in Hong Kong for years in ways I can't explain how wicked and evil it was. There wasn't a day where we didn't feel agitated. The last 2.5 years, in almost a complete absence of any evidence of the demonic in every nation we're going to now, and in Hong Kong. Because you make your stand. Get out the fish's belly. I went into a fish's belly 7 times. Made 7 bad leadership decisions. I went straight into a fish's belly. And the only way I could come out is not by blaming people, but by taking responsibility. I made a decision against the anointing in my spirit, because I reasoned philosophically and worldly wisdom that's corrupt. This might actually look more convenient for me. But you slowly realize, I don't like the fish's belly. It's hard in that fish's belly. I don't want to get used to being in the fish's belly. Stay there too long. Be transformed and exited from your assignment. If you're in a fish's belly tonight, you can get out tonight. Say, Lord, I made some bad choices. And I blamed others. But I take responsibility. I repent. The Holy Spirit will show you. Will you let the pressure of man precipitate a wrong decision? I want you to just lift your hands. Please, not mournfully, but very joyfully. Father, we will not succumb. We will overcome. Not by our might or power, but because you're faithful. And you've destined us to to be fruitful, to be overcomers. This is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And we thank you tonight that it's by the hearing of faith that our wonderful Redeemer did on the cross, believing that, not by condemnation or works of the law or performance pressure. We're not here to impress anybody. We're here to be anointed, to attract your supernatural massage of your presence and power, the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. And Father, we pray. Oh, there's a corporate anointing right now. Just gone straight into that realm of His glory instantly, just like that. I really believe that months, weeks, and even years of burdens, the enemy's assignments, which are all illegal and illegitimate, have been literally broken off people's lives here. I really believe that the vengeance of God is breaking out on your behalf. Jesus said, if you cried for justice night and day, how quickly will your Father give you justice? Father, I ask that whatever's been stolen from anybody in this house, I pray tonight, Father, that there be a transaction in the throne of heaven that would be transacted into this earth through the finished work of the cross and applied personally and powerfully into each individual's life by the manifestation of the anointing of the Spirit without limit and with power. Father, we thank you. We're not looking for dramatic manifestations. We're looking for authentic manifestations that make a difference to our daily living. And so, Lord, we release that faith right now. We touch that grounding in grace and we receive power. This is not power to heal right now, although you can be healed right now if you want. This is power to lift burdens and destroy yokes, destroy attachments, destroy connections, to destroy contracts, bridges that have been made out of compromise, been made out of political endeavors for personal advantages that heaven did not assign you to make those contracts or those connections. If you're married already, it's too late. Stay married. I'm talking about beyond that covenant. There's certain associations that are not helpful to you. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, watch out for heart of bitterness, because it'll form a root of bitterness that will defile many. It didn't say defile few. If you get bitter or you associate with bitter people, you'll get defiled. And it will destroy your destiny and your future. And you might get your 30 pieces of silver, but you'll have it with depression. And so I'm urging you in a loving, gracious way, please, folks, weigh this up carefully. Get free. I'm a happy person. I believe in humor, laughter, joy. And we'll see more of that tomorrow. But tonight, you're going to encounter God. And I really want to urge you as a brother in Christ, don't miss tomorrow morning's meeting for some flimsy, trivial thing. Don't miss it. Really, you need to hear about those five dimensions of the anointing and how to apply them to your life on a daily basis, how it all works and how it operates. Tonight was just so that we would find it easier tomorrow, that you'd come tomorrow with clarity of how to touch Him and be touched by heaven. So, Father, we thank you right now. The Hebrew word for Messiah is the same Hebrew word for Masach, which means the anointing being massaged into you. So just let that anointing be massaged into you right now. Just take a minute or two. Guys, Rob, can we sing just a worship song of adoration to the King that most of us would know? Just stand there and just say, Lord, whatever you want of me, I want to follow what Jesus did. In Gethsemane, he just said, Father, if it be possible, let me not be called to Hong Kong. Let it be back to South Africa. I know that surprises you because a lot of people are trying to get out. My wife gets bored with me saying how much I'd love to come back and live here. I see the opportunity. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me, Father. Nonetheless, not my will, but your will be done.
And if you think that's only a decision Jesus had to make as federal head, you're wrong about that. Every believer has to make constant decisions that they're going to bow to Him and to His will and not go to compromise of political seductions. Because we're secure. Grace makes us secure in identity to not need the approval of man or political assignments. Just lift your hands one more time. Say, Lord, I want to make a decision tonight that will affect all the rest of my time on the earth and eternity. I want to set my will like flint towards the finished work of the cross and towards the Holy Spirit finishing, applying the finished work of the cross upon my life. Tonight, I want to make a decision, Lord, that affects me for the rest of my days. I will never retreat from the battlefield, even when I feel burnt out. Even when I feel I'm on the edge of a nervous breakdown, which Glenda and I have been at many times, but even in an almost burnout state, fresh anointing oil brings you back into the fight, gives you refreshing, gives you strength. As you wait upon the Lord, you'll exchange your strength for His strength, and you'll rise up with wings like eagles, and suddenly you will realize, I'm not going down, I'm going up. I'm good for this fight. I can deal with my Goliath. It is victory for me. Come on, give Him a shout in this place. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Where's the Lord? I
worship You.
Almighty God.
Almighty God. There is none like You.
We worship You.
Worship You. Ransom me. That is what I want.
Give Me praise.
Give You praise.
For You are my righteousness.
For You are my.
Not a Rob Rufus meeting, But people say whenever Rob has a meeting, somewhere we're all going to hold hands together. But because you are all connected here, I want you to take one another's hands, please, in this Jesus meeting, and be conductors to each other. You be the grounding. You be the pylon for the person on the left and right. You be anchored in His grace beyond the curtain. And so, if you ever got to force something, it's not the anointing. It's always trying to make an impression, performing, but it's fleshy. And so there's just a beautiful sense of quietness now. And I'm just going to say, Father, let Your fresh anointing run up and down these lines of precious people. Everyone with a history, everyone in a context. Everyone as human as the one next to them. We hold this heavenly treasure in these frail earthen vessels. We thank You that You choose weak people, foolish things that are mocked by the wisdom of this world, to confound and shame the arrogant wisdom of this world. And so we gladly call ourselves weak. Some are even very, very tired here tonight, Lord. And I'm so grateful they came. Some are thinking, I just can't take one more step. I know what that's like. But I promise you, you can take one more step by faith and you'll find strength. I am so glad that I never surrendered to the voices that said, you're going to burn out, slow down, adjust. There is wisdom in those words, but some people don't mean it in that wisdom. Peter came to Jesus and said, you can't go to Jerusalem. Don't go and get crucified. And Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You're more concerned about the things of man than the things of God. And so I'm glad I didn't listen to voices. There are people that will tell you things. And they've told me those things. And they're shocked that Glenda and I are still running across them. And it's no arrogance. We're a little boy and girl from Panta. It's the anointing. But if we'd listened to those voices, I tell you, I would have retreated off the battlefield from Goliath. And I'm not sure I would have ever got back. So Lord, I thank You for every precious person who came here tonight to hear this little boy and girl from Panta. That heaven's kindness, heaven's atmosphere, an Eden-like environment that precipitates the blessing of God. That heaven's honey, the golden oil, all five ingredients would be massaged into every man and every woman here. Conduct Your blessing and power through the hands and the arms of every temple of the Holy Spirit here. And Lord, in the most undramatic way, in a quiet, still way, do a supernatural transfer that will have dramatic distinctions into our future, that will make dramatic differences. We're tired of people that go to meetings and talk about all the revelation they got, but years later or months later, their lives have looked still a mess. We want substantial change, Father. Real change. Change the way we think. Father, this church is one of the best teachers on the planet. Steve Wheeler. We mean that, Father. There's no flattery. That's one of the richest revelation teachers of the Word of God. And also, we know this church is well taught, well established. And we're really asking, Father, that if anyone has just gone dull or used to hearing great teaching and now is looking for novelty or the sensational, and they want something so new, I pray, Father, there would be a repentance. I pray there would be an understanding. There's been enough revelation taught in this house for every one of us be walking in the supernaturals of heaven. I pray for every church, every church representative, there'd be a transfer of such deep anointing, resonance and the sound of the supernatural in hearts. that there'd be change, that everyone would be positioned to possess inheritance, to finish assignments, to finish their race. The hand of the Lord is upon us in kindness and power. One or two still struggling with some of the ideas that seem to legitimize and seem to make intelligent some of the excuses people use to be unfaithful to the house of God. I'm just asking you, please let them go. Don't fight. That's a stronghold trying to hold you. Just let it go. I don't know if you're going to get another chance, so just let it go tonight, because you've had many, many opportunities. Don't squander them. It's too urgent now. We're near the end of 2:15. There's opportunities coming to the faithful before this year is over. There's a positioning of the faithful before this year is over. You'll see the edges of a tsunami. And I declare that we can go from a trickle. The church at very best is in a trickle of the anointing. The very best you can see around the earth. Going from a trickle to a stream, very quickly to a river, into a flood, and into a tsunami. And if you say, I've heard all that before, then you just become cynical. Because, I'm sorry, but I've been doing this for 37 years, and I've been through 6 moves of the Spirit. And the one coming now, before this year's over, the edges of it will be like greater than anything that I've seen before. But there are some who will watch it come and go. And they will not be caught. They will not be captured by it. Now, I believe the Spirit of God is going to blow like a wind through the whole highway area. It's going to blow religious tumors right out of the park. Gnostic, introspective, nail-gazing mystics. Or self-righteous, grace Pharisees. You've had your time to repent. You're not going to tolerate it anymore. The wind of heaven's coming now. Vengeance will break out. God will have justice. Cannot mock the truths of the Word of God or the sacredness of the New Covenant or the God's intent that through the church His manifold wisdom shall be revealed. Can't mock that. Can't criticize that forever and ever and feel there'll be no consequences. You are not the people criticizing it here tonight. But you've heard the criticisms. You've heard the voices. You've heard the complaints. You've heard the disdain, the disapproval. I can tell you right now, God is about to take that ball out of their hands. He's going to put it into the hands of people. They're going to use that opportunity and see it as such a privilege. Father, if we're still counting the cost or the sacrifice to be obedient to you, we're so sorry about that, Lord. We should have dealt with that a long time ago. Made fundamental priority decisions a long time ago. Help us to align with heaven tonight. And not be thinking about these things in a year's time. The power of the free will. We choose. Set before you life and death. Choose life. If you're born again, you choose not to choose life or God's assignment, or you choose to believe that His assignment is to go fishing on a Mediterranean cruise when you're meant to go to Nineveh, and people have talked you into some obscure, weird idea of what your assignment is, just get delivered from that now. So many weird Gnostic ideas floating around the world. Your assignment is simple. It's Word of God truth. Not obscure little scriptures here and there. It is the bulk of the central teaching of the entire Bible. Don't deviate from that. God's calling on your life is not obscure, obtuse, or confusing. It's simple. Just follow the Spirit. Follow His guidance. Don't follow bitterness. Don't follow offenses. Don't follow reactions. Follow the Spirit. He will never contradict the Word of God. So, Father, I just thank you for this beautiful, holy, sacred, sober moment that's positioning us and precipitating us. To another level of walking with you.
want you to spend 30 seconds saying, tomorrow morning, may there be such, just pray in your own words, there may be such an outpouring, not only of revelation, but empowerment as the word of God goes out. Father, we just agree tonight with the hands standing together, humbling ourselves before you. We just agree. We thank you, Father, that every meeting doesn't have to be an exhilarated high. We thank you some meetings need to be quite sober. We don't want to escape from reality, Father. We want your reality to invade our lives and to create around us an atmosphere of heaven that transforms the world around us. Father, I pray for marriages tonight. I know the enemy's been attacking marriages all over the world. Spirit of dishonor to covenant and faithfulness. Father, everything that's sacred and holy and faithful has been mocked in ways that I've never seen before in 61 years. And I declare that is changing, that the beauty of your holiness will fill the house of God. Divine order, peace, rest, fruitfulness, blessing, joy, peace, all in the anointing of the Spirit. Men and women will take responsibility, not project blame. Be faithful, not by willpower, not just by some effort of the flesh, but we'll choose, Father, to do it in the anointing of heaven. We will not talk each other into lukewarmness. We will talk each other into burning flames of holy passion, the fire of God, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Just give the Lord a clap because we worship you, Lord. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much, everybody.
Amen. That's great.
Steve is looking so handsome. You know, he's lost. He used to be attractive to me years ago, but he's looking even better now. Got a flat stomach.
Yeah, flattery gets you everywhere.
Got a flat stomach there.
Wasn't tonight awesome, eh? And I felt tonight there was a shift down those power lines towards a place of being well-grounded. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow. We finished early so you can get a good night's sleep. We're having two sessions tomorrow morning. There will be a break in the middle. But we're starting at 9 sharp. And we want to be done by around 12:30. So those who can be here, great. Once again to you guys, thanks so much for the worship tonight. God bless. Drive safe. Thanks, Rob.